September the 14th, 2022. This program is brought to you by New Africa Excellent Enterprise, LLC, Mirage Speaks, Block Talk Radio, where we teach Quranic Arabic, Islamic studies, and comparative religion, not just religion. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. With Allah's name, the Merciful Benefactor, the Merciful Redeemer. As-salamu alaykum, which means peace be on you. I'm your host for this evening, Elihu Bey. My topic this evening is Al-Islam, the Tafsir of Imam, Wahfuddin Muhammad, commentary of the Holy Quran. If you have missed any of the talks, go online to www.blogtalkradiomirajspeech.com and you'll be able to listen to the ones that you have missed. Once again, we will open with a short dua, and then we will continue where we left off last Thursday. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Wassalatu wassalamu ala rasulihi al-kareem Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mubarak. The Quran Surah 2 Ayat 144. Wherever you are, turn direction of Kaaba. Orientation and prayer or a direction for pilgrimage, but it is also a central focus for preserving our unity, for keeping us all together. Why? Because when we are looking there, we are looking at a symbol of the inherent excellence God created in all of us. All of us have that common excellence. It is a symbol of our common excellence, even the common excellence of the sisters. Mecca sisters can pray anywhere. How do I know that? When we go to pilgrimage, when we go to make pilgrimage, the sister does not wait for the brother to lead her in prayer, and she does not look to see if she is behind a brother when she prays. She doesn't have to stand behind the brother. The sister can stand where she wants, wherever space she finds, just like us. The sister is equal with us during the Hajj ritual. He equals to us, especially at the Kaaba site. So I'm saying this to again get support for my position that the Khalifa properties is the female and male. It's our common excellence. We are orientated towards it, and God says if we will all be orientated towards that wherever we are scattered. Now, I don't think that God means just physically scattered. He means that his other interest takes us away from our unity, the interest that can bring us back to that unity. He wants is that interest. The interest is in the common excellence of all people. The Quran Surah 2, Ayat 30, I'm going to place a Khalifa in the earth. The Quran Surah 27, Ayat 62, made you mankind inheritors Khalifa. The Quran Surah 42, Ayat 38, command order by mutual consultation. So man in the role and authority of power that God plans for him or intended for him is depicted or pictured, given in concept as Khalifa. Khalifa now, God says in the Quran that he made not one but many made us, whether we qualify for it or not. He made us Khalifas. The plural is used Khalifat, not just one. Khalifa many, yes. So there was nobody called Khalifa in the time of the prophet. After him, the believers got together and they decided to do a psychological thing. They look at this officer. We have lost him. So our rulers has to be big. And the people will not pay attention to him. We need a big officer that will at least be a magnified in the eyes of the people, that they will give him respect, because the prophet was magnified so much in our eyes. just as the preachers, imams, or leaders that won't do it. He has to have a better title. So they went and did a little study and research, and they came up with the justification for calling their leaders the Khalifa. But believe me, the only Khalifa we had since the passing of our prophet, the only Khalifa we had was Muhammad the prophet. Here, after the passing of the prophet, Khalifa's rulers are betrayed, assassinated, one behind the other. Their life's not long with the people, except for one. And really, his wasn't too very, very long. So this is a sign, to me, it is a sign that we should study this office of Khalifa. But don't you know that Prophet Muhammad, prayers and the peace be upon him, if he had seen anyone, single one of his companions, reminding him of bringing to his mind the idea that this person is in his behavior or in his ability Khalifa, don't you know he would call them Khalifa, some of them Khalifa Omar, Khalifa Abu Bakr? He never called any of them Khalifas. Why? Because Khalifa is not to be worn by any single one person. Khalifa is all of our titles. Khalifa is all of our titles. And if you get a person who qualifies to lead us that role, in that role, to be that kind of person, we should never call that person himself singularly by himself Khalifa, unless we are doing it as I am doing it. Now, we are saying that God created us all to be Khalifa. And here is a person here who indicates to us in his person that he has grown into the dimensions of Khalifa. He has the quality, the dimensions of Khalifa. He has measured up to the dimensions of Khalifa. But to then make that a title, no. Because when you make it a title, it's just like calling your leader the king or the prince or the high priest. It is the same as doing that. You're going to separate him from the people. So he's the Khalifa, so we worship him. Amira, not Khalifa. It is a mistake that they call their rulers the Khalifa. If they had continued to call their rulers Amiras, because that is the title word that we have justification for from Quran and from the life of the prophet. Where is the justification from the Quran? God says to us an order by what has been revealed, command order, a mirror. And God says to us, order upon the principle of shura, mutual consultation, meeting the mind of the mature meeting of the best mind, discussing the matter and coming up with a consensus, a judgment. They all support, right? So that's what God says to do. I mirror upon that. And the prophet says, no matter how small the task is, if it involves more than one person, choose you an Amira. So Quran Surah 2, Ayat 30, will you make one who will make bloodshed? So he gives us something of his spirit, okay? And he said, get down from here into the earth, right? And he formed a man from the earth, right? And the Quran says that, and he brought them out of the earth, and to the earth they must return. And it says, your creation is like the plant, meaning that you started from nothing but germ-like. A seed in the earth germinate and unfolds into a symmetry, right? Yes. So that's what God is telling us. Now, then he created us like a plant. So we were with God in his will, and God saw us, and God showed us to the angels. The angels didn't see Adam until God showed Adam to the angels. They didn't say, God, who is that up here with us? Man, no form. So we had no form to be seen by us, nor an angel, until we were formed in the earth, right? So what was the base or the foundation, pardon me, for our coming together, earth material, first spirit from the earth. Well, where did we get our first spirit, the human spirit, from earth? That's why the angels were afraid. Is this thing going to come up out of the materialism, said God? That stuff is going to be bloodshed and trouble, etc. So God said, wait until I have breathed into him of my spirit. So now, what is the conclusion of my discussion that I just made? The conclusion is, don't underestimate our material base. Ain't no life without material bases. So you may think you don't have material bases, but if you ever wake up with your senses together, or senses, something is going to tell you, get down from here. The Quran, Surah 2, Ayah 30, make Khalifa ruler equals intellect. God was saying he created the human intellect, not a black man, not a white man, not necessarily a man. But the human excellence could be men and women, or women and men. He created the human intellect, God was saying. He is going to create the human intellect. The Quran, Surah 2, Ayah 30, make Khalifa ruler equal intellect. Come from a word or has in its root meaning, going back to origin and the Qibla, as I just said, mean the same thing, turning towards that. That was first, that began everything. Scientist, every person is. So Quran, Surah 2, Ayah 30 to 34. Make ruler tell them their name. Curiosity, when the brain turns on, when intellectual curiosity starts to fill the head, the mind, that's when we have production in the world. So we call this now scientific thinking. So we need inventors, that chakra, scientific thinkers. So we need inventors, scientific thinkers. You must certainly do. And they got us thinking that the scientists are really a breed all to themselves, foreigners, alienated creatures, when all of us have been created to be scientists. So you know when God says he created Adam, he is saying he created the scientists. He created the first scientist. Or where did you get that from? The angels were thinking that the man that God was making was going to be a problem for God's system of creation, saying, God, what will you create other than something that will cause bloodshed and confusion? God said to them, I know what you know not, meaning I am creating an intellect that will be freed. Adam's father of man and science. Juba, father of science. Handel, Hawks, Oregon. Tubal Cain, instructed in brass and iron. So actually the first man represent that in all people in terms of what the intellect can do. The first man represents establishment of the human being as an intellect. Proof of that is in the Bible, is that God created Adam. Adam began to produce sons, and his son became the industrial leader for generations to come, to follow. They produce ironworks, everything. They even produce music and instruments to play the music. So this is the Bible Genesis. So if the Bible tells us in Genesis that all of the science came from Adam, his generation produces all the sciences, so he is the first, he is the father of not only mankind, but he is the father of industry and the sciences. Read it for yourself, you curious ones. The sleepers stay with me. You're going to be woke up soon. So the heart, then the intellect, then the production. a productive world. We African Americans having been cut off from that situation, needing for man's intellect to be productive. How has that been done? We came out of slavery, defied the freedom to engage the material world with our hands, feet, and our eyes, and our minds. So we know there are a very few exceptions. Some Africans were not slaves over here, we are told, but they were very few, fortunate, and situation that they were in limit them too. Although we were limited by plantation slavery, the majority of us, out of that physical bondage, slavery, we were free to do what? Go on our own. Where is it there to go? Long ago, my people stopped speaking African language or dialect. I don't know any language but the language of the master. None of us are educated, so we have no prior knowledge from our fathers or forefathers. So all we are going on is what they gave us. The Quran, Surah 2, Ayah 30, I am making a Khalifa in the earth. But at one time, there was only God's creation everywhere. You looked, God's creation. Even the houses you lived in, very simple house. In the beginning, three leaves, yes, straw, mud. Yes, very simple start, very simple beginning. But now we live within man's mind. Ask what you live in. You live within man's creation. So you have within man's mind all around you. So really, if man doesn't help you to be aware of God and what God wants for you in your life, you won't get it because the whole environment is showing you nothing but man. The Quran, Surah 2, Ayat 30, Khalifa, Vice General. So when you read about God saying to the angels in the Quran, Most High, glorified is he, I am about to put a vicegerent in the earth. I'm about to put a Khalifa in the earth. That's the beginning of the life of the brain and the role in making history and establishing the order of mankind that God wants. That's what it's all about. So brothers, as imams, you have to see that Islam is all about establishing the human soul and the human mind and the human life and community. You can't live outside of community. You can't live outside of the issue for community life. You can't live outside the problems for community life. You can't live outside of the direction for man in community life. So the Quran, Surah 2, Ayat 30, I will make in the earth a Khalifa. Bukhari, page 2, 18. Everyone is a ruler. So human measurement, how big can a human being become? You can't become God. God made us human and not God. Can't become angels. We are human, not angels. God says to the angels, according to our holy book, he says, sure, I am making in the earth a Khalifa. Now we can translate it different ways. A trustee, a ruler, one who was given responsibility of rule the rule, to fix the order, to fix the authority, but as a trustee, not as the authority himself, but as a trustee formed by God to keep the trust. So we know that in the history of El Islam, we have Khalifas coming after the passing away of this earth of Muhammad the Prophet, praise and the peace be upon him, who was the messenger of God and the first successor after him that the Muslim community looked to as their leader was called Khalifa, the Khalifa Abu Bakr and the four great Khalifs. You know, Abu Bakr, Omar, Uthman, and Ali. They were the four great rulers after Muhammad the Prophet, praise and the peace be upon him. I believe persons who have studied very seriously what developed after the leadership of our prophet. I believe that it wasn't necessarily those individuals that made the mistake, but I think the thinkers, scholars, made a mistake in the identifying individual persons as Khalifa. So the Khalifa collective body, not single person. God says he's making on the earth a Khalifa. I'm of the understanding that God has seen that every human being is a potential Khalifa. And we can have that rule that God entrusted to the Khalifa together, not separately. But it has to be together as a collective body. We can be Khalifa, not in a single person. Khalifa body must be the rule. Shura consultation with Prophet's way. So Muhammad himself is refused to accept the rule, although he was chosen messenger and servant of God. God had made him an authority in our lives, but he refused to accept, to give orders and not have others use their own minds and thinking and contribute to a discussion or choice in the matter. He invited his companions, his learned people, they was in his company, to think on the problem. Think on the situation and give him their opinion. What do you have to say about this Khalifa Ibn Wali? He would say, he would turn to one, turn to another, asking their opinion, their advice, and God was communicating to him directly. But he still respected the opinion of others. And he didn't want to make a decision by himself unless God had revealed that decision in Quran. He wanted to have others join him in discussion in Quran. He wanted to have others join him in arriving at the conclusion, making the right decision. So this tells me that al-Islam is by democratic consensus. Al-Islam has respect for the intelligence of other people, and that one person can never make all the decisions because that shows that he has no respect for the intelligence of other people. And if we accept one of the hadiths that says the control of God is on the collective body, which means that God is not governing the people through one person, but God wants a government by and for a collective body, not one individual. Khalifa, the Quran Surah 2, Ayah 30. Allah is placing a Khalifa in the earth. So the Khalifa, a responsible group or persons. So we are about freedom. We want to free ourselves. We want to free our life so that we can have more growth and responsible growth. We are going to be responsible for ourselves, and that's what Khalifa is. Khalifa is a responsible person or responsible order. The Khalifa is really a personal type or a type for a collective group or an ordered group that is responsible for the environment of human beings or for the society, as we say, for human society. So Khalifa is a responsible, organized body working according to the will of God and following the guidance of God to reach more and more growth for the human society, growth in accordance with the plan and the will of God. So Khalifa receives help from his own nature. So the life of the Khalifa is life lived in accordance with the divine plan that God planned and created in him. He has an inherent plan on his life or in his life, in the constitution of his life. Something just automatically happens for him when he is blocked from proceeding on with his life in accordance with that plan. The Quran, Surah 3, Ayat 110. You are the best community. God says he has created us so that we should grow. G-R-O-W. And he said he has created us as a plant. That means he has created us to have a pattern of growth. Plants just don't grow. They grow according to their own entering pattern. And they grow according to the... So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that he has given you a religion, the one that you were originally patterned upon. Then you should understand that this word fitra, is also addressing this pattern and growth. But not some pattern that is imposed upon the life or brought from outside or creation and imposed upon our creation. No. It is a pattern that reveals in our creation, and then God gives us assistance for it. Life is growth, and when you don't have the growth that God intends for your life, then you don't have freedom. God says you are the best community, evolve. The word ukurijan literally means brought out, and plants are brought out. God says that the plant, the thing that grows, the thing that are cultivated on the earth, he calls that something brought out. So the same word ukurijan is from the Arabic root word karajat, and it means to come out of something. And God speaks of us as community brought out how? Brought out as a growth that follows a pattern growth. Now, when you see people not productive and not meaning much and not having a representative life with other societies, it's because they are not evolved. They are not brought out in the pattern growth. Their growth is not a pattern growth. Khalifa received help from his own nature. So the life of Khalifa is life lived in accordance with the divine plan that God planned and created in him. He has an inherent plan in his life, in the constitution of his life, something just automatically happens for him when he's blocked from proceeding on with the life in accordance with that plan. Fatiha, opening of the way, establishing your purpose. The Quran begins with Al-Fatiha. So we know the meaning of it. It means the opening. It also gives the message of opening a victory, although there is another chapter by the title, The Victory. So when someone is at war with the enemy, with another army or one army, gets victory and conquers the place that they are aiming to conquer, the victory of that army over the other army and that place is referred to as faith. It means he opened that city. So to open a city to your purpose is a victory. That's your victory. That's conquest. So really, Al-Fatiha brings to mind not only the opening of the Quran, but it brings to mind the opening of the way for establishing your purpose. You open a city up and you establish your life there. You establish yourself there. So the opening of the way to establish your purpose is a victory. It opens in conquest, and we are going to read it and look at the language of that chapter. The first verse says, Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Unlike the other chapters, it is the first verse of this chapter, whereas the other chapter, Bismillahirrahmanirrahim, is the opening, and the first verse begins with something else. Let us take for an example The next chapter is Surat al-Baqarah. The first verse is Alif Lam Mim, not Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. But for Al-Fatiha, the first verse is Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. And there is a total of 7 verses, and the last being the pad, the 7th of the verses. Al-Fatiha has 7 verses, double equals 14. Now, this chapter is called the 7 matching verses, ayats. So these 7 are referred to as 7 in double. So if you have 7 in double, the total would be 14, wouldn't it? Although the verses are 7, it has a reference also to 14. And this chapter, in my opinion, is addressing many things. It has been called the essence of the whole Quran. What we want to look at this morning after the Fajr prayer is its message to the whole world. And not just a message to the whole world, but its message to the problems that are in the way of us having the world as one. So those that come before and gave the wrong understanding in religion cause us to see the world in pieces, in division, and lost the light that wanted us first to see the whole world as a whole, mankind as one, man's purpose as one, and also created as one. We could discuss that later, maybe. So it starts off with Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Has God been understood not to be Ar-Rahman or Ar-Rahim? If he hasn't, then why is this there or here? This is the opening. This is the very opening. So God must not have been understood as Ar-Rahman and Ar-Rahim. So this has direct reference to the scripture, to the people of Abraham, to the scripture that came to the people of Abraham, the Jews and Christians, and those in the world who have similar beliefs. So we find in the scripture, the Jews, there is one extreme, and in the scripture of the Christians, another extreme. But we are not here to criticize anybody's religion or anything or anybody's scripture, okay? I'm perfectly at peace with the Jews and the Christians when they follow their religion. Rahim addresses Jews' view of God as a punisher. One extreme was from the Jews who made the world for Israel and made the God the Lord of Israel, not the Lord of all people, the God of Israel, etc. So this is the one extreme, and Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim comes to correct. And then the Christians came and they looked at the God of Israel through the teachings of Christ Jesus as they understood the teachings of Christ Jesus. They looked at the Jewish people and the Old Testament as the call, and they called it, and they resent the extreme the Jews went to, and they see the Jews' version of perception of God as a God that is stern, severe, a punishing God, a God that's ready to punish. Christian extreme is God only love without restrictions. So the Christians went to the other extreme, and they say God is a loving God. Now, you know, we cannot give God too much praise as a God of love and mercy, etc. But if you don't have the balance, then you lead the people to another extreme where God becomes lover and mercy, and they forget the restrictions. They forget the law. They forget that God is severe in punishment too. So we have these two extremes in the world, and the Quran came to correct that and put us equally and solidly on our feet in the balance. You see, I just made a cross, didn't I? I said solidly on our feet and in the balance. The Quran balances the extremes. protocol unchanged to put us upright, solidly upon our feet and in the balance, not going to the extremes. And the message to the world is that God is beneficent in the translation of the Ahmadiyya, which is an excellent translation. It just has some problems, a few serious problems, but an excellent translation. Rahim, mercy, the wound of mother. So God is the beneficent, the merciful. And now we use the language, God is merciful in giving, in generosity, in his kindness, supplying us with all of our needs. So we say the merciful benefactor to the merciful redeemer. So God is mercy in redeeming man after he has gone astray, fallen and lost the way. God is merciful to bring him back, to redeem him, to give him life again. His mercy gives him life in the first place from his mother. He came to life, and the life from his father. But I'm speaking of the compassion now. Mama is symbolic of the compassion that has shown the light. One teacher in Al-Islam said, the man carries the light burden, the woman carries the heavy burden. The sperm is light, the body or the baby in the womb is heavy. So the wound of the mama is the mercy of God. Where is the life to receive and care for? Is in the domain of the wound of the mother. So the exact language, you know, we don't use. Science tells us guess where the baby is. But we do know it in the stomach because it gets so large. The stomach just almost explodes almost. So she carries the burden, and while the life is there, it is being cared for. It experiences no difficulty, and it comes out here and it can't remember any pain. We know it suffered, but it doesn't remember any pain. It can't recall any discomfort, and it's wrapped up very nicely and protected very nicely until it becomes fully developed and delivered into our world. So this is the compassion, the mercy of God. Then when the baby comes out, the baby finds milk. So the mother doesn't have to say, oh, I got a living child here. What am I going to feed it? Food is there, ready. Food is right where she would like to hold it next to her breast or her heart, right? So this symbolic of the mercy and beneficence of God, the merciful, beneficent benefits that comes with mercy to the human being. So God is our Rahim. So we mention that his mercy after we lose the way, then his mercy is to help us come back to the way, to redeem us after we are lost or after we are astray. So that's why God is called Al-Rahim. It is to show that God is merciful, but he did not just become merciful with the Christian era. He was merciful from the very beginning and creating the world and creating life. So that is where we see his mercy. So he's giving, educating, and helping man to come to civilization has been his mercy. The people before the Christian era and the people of the book, they were given guidance. That guided them to the path of knowledge and benefit. That is the mercy of God. So mercy is not just helping the sick, the blind to see. Not the only mercy. The big mercy is that God created this beautiful universe. And he is so kind in bringing you and benefit of this universe. So God is merciful, but don't forget that his mercy is not just coming. His mercy has been always. That's the point. We see God in the right light. We can praise him now with the right praise. The Bible says with the perfect praise, Alhamdulillah, praise be to God. So God is Lord of the world, not just one people. So the second problem, Rabbit Irony. Somebody said he's Lord of Israel. He is Lord of all the world. He is everybody's Lord, equally too. Rab, close to the word Rabbian, meaning two parents. So the first verse is repeated, Al-Rahman al-Rahim. Why is the first verse repeated now again? It is repeated again because what interrupted this understanding or this perception of God, what blocked it was that some people said he is their Lord exclusively, that he created them, raised them up, and evolved them. That's what it means. Lord means created and evolved all together. So it is all in the same word. So you have both the idea that he created the human being, but also evolved him. So it is a little stronger than parent. But this word is taken originally from the word that means parent. And the expression is in the Quran, where we still have that connection, the expression of my parents who raised me from a small child when I was helpless, who raised me up from the helpless form, a small child, dependent on its parent. So the word is Rabbian for the two parents who did that. Rabbiani Zatirin. Rabbiana Diani Zagira. When I was a little helpless life. So we have Rab in there, still the connection. So the parent received life from the creation of God. Another then, the parent takes care of that life and helps that life along until it can manage for itself, seeing that it has opportunity to develop and reach its manhood, to reach its maturity, to reach its womanhood or manhood. So this is how God and some of our best teachers explain this. It is not just my way. This is the traditional way of explaining this in Al-Islam. Womb of creation, the body, then the womb of each intellect. Reverence the womb that bore you. So God is also the one who takes us from the womb of our mother in two main pictures. One is the picture, the other is another picture, because man and women are more than biologic. The man and the women are consciousness and intelligence. So he is the one who takes us from the womb of our mother. The world created itself as a material body is our womb. So the womb of our existence, so we are born out of that womb, the womb of creation itself physically, but also mentally, also as a conscious, intelligent being. Mentally is not enough to say it. God says also as conscious, intelligent life, taken out of the womb of creation. And it's God that gives us intellectual birth. But we can't have it without God. So we can have abortions and breech birth. We can have these incorrect deliveries, but we cannot have the perfect delivery that God created us for without God. So it is God also who makes us from that. So we are going to ease your way to a state of ease. And we are going to teach you so that you will not forget. This is the parent, isn't it? And we are going to open up opportunities for you. God is saying this like a parent. God took him when he was helpless, like a little baby, lost without anyone to care for him, and took him and comforted him like a mother does a little baby, then nourished him step by step. Every time a need arose, God was there to prepare him to get the benefit and not suffer except for a little, but get the benefit. Or even if he had to suffer much, the benefit was so much greater that the suffering was forgotten. So this is the God of mercy. So it is repeated after Rabbil Alameen, the one who has done this for the whole world, is certainly Ar-Rahman and Ar-Rahim. That's why it is repeated. They got the problem of the Lord of Israel out of the way, and now you see that the Lord is the Lord of all the world. He has done this all over the world. Now say it again, Ar-Rahman and Ar-Rahim. So the Quran saw one ayat for Master of the Day of Judgment. So the next verse is Maliki Yawmiddin. All of this is addressing the wholeness of the world, the wholeness of the human life. That is what it is addressing. So this is a universal message with a focus on the whole world and the universal plan of God, not a regional plan, national nor local plan, but a universal plan of God. Do you see? So this is a universal message, and it is fulfilling its mission. It has a mission. Not only a message, it is a message. Mission is to bring the kindness and mercy, gifts, and blessings of God to all his creation without any unjust discrimination. So this is the message. The Quran, Surah 95, Ayat 8, Allah best to judge. Mark 12:36, sit on my right hand. So you say your God is the king. Your Lord is also the king of Israel. He is the God of Israel. He is the Lord of Israel. Is he also the king of Israel? No. This is the king. This is the real judge, the real master of the day of judgment. The same one, not a different one. The same one who is the master of the day of judgment. It is the one that scripture says, set down on my right hand. No, the same one who is the master on the day of judgment, with the one sitting at his right hand in the judgment. No, there is no one sitting at his right hand in the judgment. He is the judge alone, and he is the one who can be judged. Another reference to God in this connection that touched me when I say a young man studying the Quran to know the religion. Quran says, who is better to judge? The one who created and has existed always, or the one who comes later and is himself created? So you think about that. I thought about it. I said, this is a terrible error that the world made, a terrible injustice to God. This is not fair. This is a bad way to treat God, who has given us everything, created everything for us, and now we are going to go somebody else come to redeem us and judge us. What do they know about us? They just came here like we did. What do they know about the beginning of our sins with Adam? They weren't here when Adam was created. They didn't see Adam in his life, how he lived it. The only thing that they can do is have some revelation from God to understand that themselves, now are they going to be the judge? They can't judge it. So God is the judge. He is the king. This world, this word Malik has reference to judge. It has reference to king also. So king, judge, and master. they translate it master, because the king is a ruler over the people. So this is using the language of man's history and the life tradition, the evolution of his language, the nature and the development of his language. So he is saying king, and it means the master. No, God is the master. God is the king. So judge on the day of judgment. So when you put it with the end date, the final day, then it becomes judge, right? Because it is always addressing scripture that came before. This means master of the day of judgment. And the judgment is that deen, the same word that is religion, right? Deen, day of judgment, day of death. So the judgment is Yom HaDin. When you put the term Yom HaDin, it becomes the day of judgment. But without Yom going before it, with that reference to the day of judgment in scripture, in the language of the people of the book, it means what? The religion. Ad-Din means the religion. But in Arabic language, Ad-Din doesn't necessarily mean religion. Ad-Din comes from a word, day, that also means death. So it means that the day of religion, it means the day of judgment. Yes, we know that. But what is its root meaning? What does it stem from? It stems from the idea that we are all indebted to God, and our life should be lived in a way to pay up that debt. We all are indebted to God, and our life should be a paying up the debt. You pay up the debt with your life. Deen, religion, shows man how to pay the debt. So the day of judgment is the day when we pay up the debt. And I'm sure that meaning is in all people, in all people's religions, that belief in the judgment day. So it is a day when you are going to pay the debt in full. So the revelation Quran came and gave us a new meaning of religion. So what is the religion? Religion is the way that God gave us. I'm talking about it as revealed religion now, not just religion generally speaking. Man has different religions, but the religion that came from God to man, it is guidance or light to show man how he is to pay his debt. So God has given you life, and you have a debt to live it according to the God's plan for your life, because he gave it to you. That is the debt, right? So God gives you your life. You didn't create yourself. You didn't give yourself life. So you have a debt to God. And a debt is to live the life the way God intended for you to live it. And that's how you pay up the debt. And that is the religion, isn't it? The same. See how clear it is? It is the same. To you we worship and serve. Man gives his whole life to God to serve each other in part. If I have my life in the way that God, the Creator, who gave me this life, intended me to live it, I am living my religion. But God didn't just leave it with that. God gave us a light so that we could see exactly what we are to do to have El-Islam in our life as a way of life, a guide, and a pattern to follow and obey, etc. So what is the next verse referring to? I think we understand when I say master, each verse is referring to a problem that existed before, right? Iyyaka na'budu. Translated, to you alone I do worship. So worship means serve. To you alone we serve as a servant, a slave. To you alone do we give our life in service. Our whole life is given like a slave gives his whole life in the service of his master. So to you alone, God, we give our life. So it is talking about the whole life, because you know we serve each other, don't we? But we don't give our whole life to anybody, only God. He is talking about his life. So you alone do we serve, and you alone do we beg for help. Nestaim means seeking assistance from God. Now we know we seek assistance from each other too. So we are helped by each other. Parents help their children, and children in turn help their parents. So we are helping each other. This help is just like that. This help must be understood in the contents of this chapter. It is talking about help for the whole life, help for the whole world, not help for somebody that needs a job, for somebody that needs to get off of alcohol or drugs. It is not talking about that help. It includes that help, but this is mainly addressing help that we need to manage the life in this vast creation, especially on earth with other human beings. This is the help it is talking about. So the Quran, Surah 61, Ayah 14, Jesus, who will be helpers. So when Jesus asked his companions in the Quran to be his help, it really was, where are your helpers for God? But actually it means to get where God wants us to go. So we are your helpers in the path of God. Now, that language, the term path is not there in the language at all, but that is what it means. So we are your helpers in the plan, in the path of God, to arrive at the destination to meet God. So we are your helpers. It is not quite this language. A different word is used. The term Ansar, the disciples of Jesus Christ, peace be upon him. The word means help, like the Ansar of Medina. They helped the prophet, prayers and the peace be upon him, who was blindly, he was badly in need of people to respond to him so that he would be able to establish the Ummah. Seek you for help is for the purpose of life. So this help is not just help for little tribal things. This is help in the big picture. All of Al-Fatiha is the big picture. It is talking about this whole picture, help for the big cause, etc. So we turn only to you for that help. Now, can you see how clear it is? You can't turn to anyone else. But God, he has designed the creation he made. If you go against his will or his purpose in it, you are going to have trouble. He put it under law, etc. So if you don't know what you are doing, you are going to have trouble. I can't go to somebody who just came last year and get help for this big task, how to live in God's creation. I must turn to God who made creation to know how to live in his creation. So you alone. Now you understand it, right? A lot of us, we read this all the time, but we don't understand it. You alone, we turn to your mama. You turn to me. You will turn to a bum out in the streets if he's the one that has what you need at that time, right? Turn to everybody for help. Turn to many things for help. Farmers turn to the land for help. God isn't the only one we turn to for help. That's readily understood. So that's what it is saying, to you alone. And we try to rationalize it. Whatever help comes to you, it comes from God through something else. It is talking about help for the purpose that God created you for. help to arrive at the destination, help for God, which God has created you. That is what we need. We need help to live our life in this context of God's creation or in this material universe, and particularly in the context of man as a global community or society. Salakullahu Zadeem, surely Allah speaks the truth. I'm your host for this evening, Elahi Bey. We will continue this tomorrow at 7 p.m. Inshallah, it only means if it please God. We thank New Africa Excellent Murad Speaks for allowing us to come before you once again. And we thank you, our honorably listening audience. May God guide us and have mercy on us and bless us with the light of understanding as I greet you in the Arabic language. Assalamu alaikum. Peace be unto you. And thank you for listening.